Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church today. We're so glad you've chosen to worship here with us. It's great to see you all here inside of our sanctuary. We welcome our friends who are also joining us on Facebook Live or watching us through our church website. We're glad that you all are virtually here, part of our church family this morning. As we've gathered for worship today on this Palm Sunday, you're invited to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in the main doors this morning. And on the right-hand side, you'll find our tear sheet that says connect at the very top. So you're invited to tear it off now and connect with us by filling it out and letting us know that you were here with us in church today. On the back side, you can also check one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about getting more involved in the life of our congregation. You can also jot down prayer concerns that you've been praying for and lifting up to God. Certainly write those down so we can be praying with you and for you every day this week. You can also jot down praises that you are celebrating in your life. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plates that our deacons will pass during the offertory a little bit later on in our worship service today. For our friends who are joining us online, you're invited to go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org. You can download a copy of today's worship bulletin, and we would love it if you'd follow along with us from wherever you find yourself here this morning. On the very back side of your bulletin, you see things that are going on in the life of our church. Following our worship service today, our youth are having a brunch to raise money for their upcoming summer mission trips. Our middle schoolers will be going up to Newton, Iowa to do some work for a few days later on this summer. And our high schoolers are going out to Michigan to do work for a week on their mission trip. And so we hope that you'll stay after church today for a wonderful brunch following both services. In fact, they were here for a long time yesterday getting ready, and so they made a fun little video about how we should all come and join them in the brunch today. Let's check that out now.
Hey guys, what are you doing?
Cutting things.
Cutting.
I'm peeling.
What is this for?
Tomorrow's brunch. Our brunch for tomorrow after church.
Hey girls, what are you working on?
We're working on the menu.
What are you serving?
Bacon, quiche, and muffins, and yogurt parfait.
Awesome.
Hope you will join us for brunch tomorrow in the Free Will Offer.
Boy, are they enthusiastic about brunch. Oh man, I'm so excited about it. My mouth is watering now, just thinking about it. Oh man. Continuing on, things happening in the life of our church, on the back of your bulletin, you see that we're looking forward to our upcoming Tatum Ross Memorial Blood Drive on Monday, April the 8th. If you'd like to reserve space, you can contact us in the church office, and we'll certainly pass you along. Matt McVeigh is our leader. He's here today in our service. You can see him after church today, and we'll find a space for you. Our next Meet the Pastors gathering is coming up on Sunday, April 14th at 11:45 a.m. This is a fun gathering we have about four times a year for new members and new friends in our congregation. If you'd like to learn more about our church, if you'd like to learn more about where the Spirit of God is leading us and moving through it, we would love it if you would come to this Meet the Pastors gathering. You can just jot down on your tear-off sheet, Meet the Pastors, and we'll reserve a space for you. But we hope that you'll come and join us. It is always a great time together. Finally, with this being Palm Sunday, and as we enter into Holy Week, we're looking forward to the Easter season. And so inside your bulletin, you'll find a little Easter invitation postcard that looks like this. This is for you, but it's not only for you. We hope that you will take this home, that we have more of them located at the Welcome Center. There's also more located in the main church office. If you'd like to pick up a whole stack, we hope that you will take this with you and you will invite someone to worship with us here on Thursday and also Friday night this week, and certainly next Sunday morning on Easter Sunday, as we have three services at 7 out at Bill and Sue Carter's house in West Burlington, and then at 8:30, and then here at 10:30. It's a wonderful and holy time to be together as a church family, so we hope that you will invite someone to join us here with us for worship on Easter and throughout Holy Week this week. It is a good and is a wonderful and a holy day in the life of our church as we get to celebrate the sacrament of baptism here in the life of our congregation. We have five young people being baptized in worship today, and these students were in our pastor's class that has been meeting over the past 5 weeks, learning about faith, learning about baptism, learning about communion, and certainly learning about faith in Jesus Christ. We have a couple of them being baptized here in this service. We're so proud of them all in this big step of faith in the beginning of new life in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Each week, our students were led by Pastors Annika and Brooke, and also the elders from our church, a few of our elders, Peg Rosine Levinson, Austin Schwartz, Kathy Lynn, Cheryl Green, and Heather Hayes. We give thanks to God for the Spirit of Christ moving through our young people, even at the beginning of their new life of faith here in Christ. And so today, we get to begin with the baptism of Keaton Huntington. She's a daughter of Kendra and Jamie Huntington. Her grandparents are Karen Beckert and Judy and Jerry Huntington. Her one sibling is Gemma Huntington. When asked about other important members of her family, she said that her cat is very important, and her cat's name is Cricket. She's in the fifth grade at Mediapolis Elementary School, and the scripture that she has picked out for her baptism today is Luke 1:37 that says, "For nothing shall be impossible with God." We're so glad to have Keaton today in our baptistry.
We share today the baptism of Gabriel Jacobs. He is the son of Tony and Aaron Jacobs. His grandparents are Todd and Danette Brandstander and Talisa Jacobs. He has a couple of siblings, Ava and Adeline Jacobs. Gabriel is attending Clark Elementary in New London Community School District and is in the fifth grade. The scripture he has picked out is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift." That concludes our baptisms for this morning, so please join us in our opening hymn, number 192.
Before we sing, let's stand for our call to worship.
It would help if I would read my bulletin that I have. So please join me in the call to worship, then we'll get to the hymn. The parade today is just the beginning of our hope. We wave our branches and shout, "Hosanna," but there will come a time of silence and mourning. Help us to be ready for that time, O Lord. Blessed is Jesus who came into Jerusalem on that day. Blessed is Jesus who came into our hearts always. Amen.
Please join me for our opening hymn.
Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us all together today for this wonderful celebration. We ask that you open our hearts and minds through the service so we may hear your words. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first scripture reading today comes from Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and then 19 to 29. We invite the Spirit of Christ to be upon us as we hear God's word read in the midst of worship today. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We now invite the young kids of our church to come down forward and meet Pastor Anika for today's children's moments.
Good morning. How are we doing? That's wonderful. Do you know what today is? Palm Sunday, yes. And we read in Mark chapter 11, verses 7 through 9, that Jesus rode in on a colt or a donkey, and that people threw their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. Some were even shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Can you imagine a king riding in on a donkey? I sure can't. Usually, when we think of a king riding in on something, we think of them riding in on a horse with a purple saddle and a red carpet. But that's not what Jesus rode in on. He rode in on a donkey. So we are going to play Pin the Tail on the Donkey. So I will hand you all a tail. All right, so I'm going to hold up the board. You're going to take off your sticker, and you're going to close your eyes and see how close to our donkey you can get, okay? All right, so did any of you get the tail on the donkey? No. Yeah. It's a lot harder than it looks, huh? Well, as you can see, you all missed the mark. You missed the tail. This is what it's like in Jesus' time. Many people thought Jesus should do this or that, but God had a bigger plan. People said that Jesus missed the mark. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he knew he would soon be nailed to the cross. He knew his days on earth were near, but that's what he was supposed to do. So Jesus didn't miss the mark. We too cannot miss the mark if we have Jesus in our lives. If we can stay focused on him, we will have a life filled with blessings. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us celebrations. Thank you for never giving up on us, even when we have missed the mark. Allow us this week to stay focused on you and your love. Let us share your love with others this week. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
one of the things many of us are asked is, how are the first service and the second service different? And we respond, the music is different. We collect our tithes and offering in a different manner. But there's one thing that's always the same in both services. As members of the Christian church, we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim him Lord and Savior of the world. In Christ's name and by his grace, we accept our mission of witness and service to all people. We rejoice in God, maker of heaven and earth, and in the covenant of love which binds us to God and one another. Through baptism into Christ, we enter into newness of life and are made one with the whole people of God. In the communion of Holy Spirit, we are joined together in discipleship and in obedience to Christ. At the table of the Lord, we celebrate with thanksgiving the saving acts and presence of Christ. Within the universal church, we receive the gift of ministry and the light of Scripture. In the bonds of Christian faith, we yield ourselves to God that we may serve the Lord, whose kingdom has no end. Blessings, glory, and honor be to God forever. Amen. At this time, we'll receive the offering. We thank you for the givers and the way that the money will be used to support your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. Would you please join for our prayer hymn this morning? It's number 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
We pray, O God, giving thanks for our Savior who comes in the name of the Lord. We call Hosanna and we wave our palms, and we give thanks for Jesus' presence processing down that road to Jerusalem. We give thanks for his very real presence with us, even today, 2,000 years after this event. As we enter into the early days of spring, we give thanks for the seasonal shifts you designed so intricately in your creation. Encourage us to stop and give space to this new season, to wonder at the new life growing through the ground, to appreciate the beauty of the earth returning to green. What a day to celebrate new life, O God, as we bear witness to five friends baptized into holy fellowship today. We pray your blessings on Gabriel, Keaton, Brielle, Bronson, and Riley. Encourage in them a curiosity to learn more about you and to strive to grow closer to you. May your Holy Spirit be upon them, and may they grow in their faith each day of their lives. God, we pray for your presence this week as we consider Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, knowing what is to come for him. We ask for your guidance in considering what our response would have been to Jesus on the donkey. What role would we play in celebrating him, in begging for him to save us? What role would we have played in his betrayal that would occur only days from now? And what would we do as he was taken away? Oh God, this week is indeed holy, but it also brings so many feelings up as we consider all that Jesus went through willingly for each person in the world. May we meditate on these events and their meanings all throughout this week. We bring before you our prayers for others now. We pray lifting up those who are in poor health, for any in the hospital or care centers, or those who are sick or injured at home. We pray for healing, and above all, for your comforting presence as they heal. We lift up those who grieve with many different kinds of loss. Make your love a very real and peace-bringing presence for anyone who feels alone or who suffers. O God, at this start to Holy Week, we continually give thanks for the love of our Savior. We thank you for his sacrifice and for the eternal life we are granted because of his gift. In our thanksgiving, we raise our voices now together as we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our second reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, Why are you doing this? Just say this, The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately. They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, What are you doing untying the colt? They told them that what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Everyone loves a parade, right? I mean, everybody loves a parade. Floats, marching bands, candy upon candy upon candy, balloons, people waving and cheering, old cars, fire trucks, and line up on top of flatbed semis, football teams, cheerleaders, volleyball teams, the whole entire like. It is as good as it gets at a parade, I think. And whenever I think about a parade, in my mind, I always go right to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, you know, the one there in New York City. In that parade, you have elements of all the best parades from all over the country. You've got marching bands from all, like every state in the whole entire union. You have distinguished guests on floats. You have Broadway singers and dancing right in front of Macy's there downtown. You've got those massive balloons that take dozens of people to hang onto them, or less they're going to float away into the deepest reaches of space. You even have Santa Claus bringing up the tail end in that parade in New York. And throughout this parade and every single one, you have people packed to the gills on the sidewalks. Very often there are stands set up and there are rows and rows and rows of people waving, clapping, singing along. Some of the people in those stands and along those sidewalks have woken up and gotten to that space at like 1 or 2 a.m. just to get a seat to see the parade pass by. The crowds are huge. They are massive. They are joyful. They are excited. It is a great experience. And so for me, I've always thought Palm Sunday to be kind of a parade celebration kind of day. Whatever it is for you, I mean that's what it's like for us together. Macy's, Rose Parade, shoot, even like the Burlington Homecoming Parade coming down West Avenue, even like the West Burlington 4th of July Parade going down Houston Street. Whatever parade you have in mind, I mean, that's what it's like for us today. I mean, you heard the scene, you saw the scene today in worship. Maybe you know it by heart. Jesus has been out teaching and preaching in the small towns in the northern parts of Israel and Palestine. He's been out there sharing the good news of God's love with everyone that he meets. And so along the way, his fame has been building and building. His movement has been picking up steam. And so now word has spread about who he is and what he is about. And so when Jesus and his disciples and his followers and friends start to head toward the big city of Jerusalem to gather there for the festival of the Passover, the parade ensues. Only this time, it's not like a 50-person float with like fire trucks and candy and Tootsie Rolls and Twizzlers and all kinds of stuff. Now it's a parade of one. It's just Jesus. The Bible says that he made the arrangements. He gets two of the disciples to go into the city where he arranged for a colt to be picked up. Some of the Bible stories said it was a donkey there. Even one of the stories in our Bible says it was actually two animals, a colt and a donkey together. They bring it back to Jesus and he gets on it. We're on the outskirts of town and the parade goes. Everybody's cheering. Everybody's hollering. People are taking off their coats, throwing them down the road, throwing them over the back of the donkey. People are cutting down palm branches, waving them in the air, just like our kids and deacons did today. They're even quoting the scriptures. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming king of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest reaches of heaven. Everyone is fired up and ready to go. And why wouldn't they be, right? I mean, this is Jesus. Here comes King Jesus, the coming kingdom of their ancestor, David. And just like we would be at some celebration after we won the Super Bowl or the 4th of July, or the people back in the days of Jesus would be after some kind of military victory, here comes the King Jesus for them. And for the people, this is the day they've been waiting for years. When they see Jesus coming into the city and the people celebrating, now was the time when he was going to overthrow the government. Now was the time when he was going to get rid of those Romans who had come into Israel and taken over. Now he was going to set up a new kind of kingdom here on earth. Gone were the days when Jesus was just hanging out in the small towns where no one goes. This was the moment the people thought for them. It was this victory. It was this revolution. It was this huge festival. It was a new day for a new kind of kingdom with a new king, the people were convinced. And it was like that. It was like that, but not in the way they thought. You see, from this side of the story, Palm Sunday is like this turning point kind of day. I mean, yeah, we know it's a celebration, but it's also the beginning of the end for Jesus, or rather the beginning of something brand new for Jesus. I mean, we know what's to come this week. We know that this week on Thursday, we'll gather here for worship at 7 o'clock on the day that we call Maundy Thursday in the evening. And we will remember that Jesus gathered with his best friends for that Passover supper in the upper room. It's his last supper with them. We know that after dinner, he's going to be betrayed by those very best friends that he invited to follow him. We know he's going to be handed over and sentenced to die in the worst possible way on that cross. We know that those same crowds that were shouting Hosanna today on Friday are going to be shouting Crucify, Crucify. We know he's going to be locked up tight, but we also know that the tomb is going to be empty come Easter Sunday morning. And so today is this transition kind of day. It's this turning point kind of moment. We can almost feel it coming in the story. You see, I don't know if you noticed something in the Bible reading today, but in the way that the gospel writer Mark tells the story of Palm Sunday, after the parade ends, and after the crowds follow Jesus, and then after they disperse, after they've done singing, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, when they had finished all of that, the Bible says, Jesus enters Jerusalem, and he goes into the temple, and he looks around at everything, and it was already late. And so he left to go to Bethany with the 12. The cheering had stopped. They'd met him on the way, but now he's alone. It's just Jesus and the disciples in the quiet. And they leave. I mean, we can look at this from a couple different ways. I mean, maybe Jesus was like some of us, and once he got to the party, he didn't want to stay at the party very long, like he was ready for a break from the crowds. Maybe he is like some of us in that you have to get yourself going so that once you are gone, you can then come back home. And once you get to a party, like your mental clock starts ticking and the countdown begins on when you can leave that party and you can go back home. Maybe Jesus was ready for a break, and like those crowd-lined streets and the palm branches and the hosannas, that was wonderful and it was good, but he had had enough. Or maybe it's almost like a tone change in the message of Jesus. I mean, for me, it's almost like he could feel the weight of the world on his shoulders. I mean, it's good and it's great and it's a celebration, but it's almost like he leaves because he knows what's coming. I mean, maybe the heaviness of the world is weighing on him. Last week, if you were here with us in worship, the scripture that we heard and the story that we heard told us about how Jesus was getting ready to go through all that he's going to be going through this week in the midst of Holy Week. The Bible said that Jesus was troubled by all of this, about what God was calling him to do and be. And we will even hear on Good Friday this week that Jesus is going to cry out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? If it is your will, take this from me." For Jesus today, it's getting rather heavy and it's hard. And though he's in a crowd of celebration with thousands of people, it's almost like he feels rather alone. I mean, it's like this image, right? I mean, you may have seen this image before. It's one of an iceberg. And all we can see on the iceberg, right, is the things at the top, the things that are sticking up out of the water. Like, so out of the water, we have our behaviors and we have our actions. On the surface, we have our work selves and our home selves. We have who we are with our family and who we are with our friends, who we are whenever we're posting on social media, who we are whenever we are texting our best friends, who we are even whenever we are in traffic someplace. From the outside, on top of the water, the iceberg of life does not seem that big. But of course, if you could see what was happening below the surface, there's more going on than it seems. What's happening where no one can see is big and it's heavy, and sometimes it's a lot to work through. Down below the surface, you've got emotions and you have expectations from others and expectations put on yourself. You have perceptions from others and perceptions of yourself. There's much more going on below the surface than we can always see above. And maybe that was it for Jesus. Maybe all we see is what's happening on the surface. The crowds cheering his name on the back of the colt. Everyone shouting and singing and praising God. Here comes the new king. But down below the surface, we know that for years, Jesus has been trying to explain to the disciples about who he is and what God is about. About what God's love is about and who God's love is for. And the disciples still haven't got it. They still haven't figured it out. And so you can almost feel the weight of the world on the shoulders of Jesus. Almost feel the sins of the world on the shoulders of Jesus. And so maybe today is this turning point kind of day. And it seems like no one else but God knows what he's going through. And maybe for us, that's some of us at our points in life. I mean, maybe even it's here and now. We feel like an iceberg, and above the surface, we are big and strong, and it looks like we have life together. But under the surface, there's more going on than we let on. I mean, maybe that's us. Maybe there's a lesson for us in Jesus today. Maybe we should offer more grace and love to each other because we never know what someone is going through. They may look like all is well and good, but it may not be all and well and good. And so of all the things that we do as Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, we should be people of grace and love, because we never know what burden someone is carrying, and we never know what they may feel like, even in the midst of a cheering crowd. In fact, I think that Jesus is trying to teach us that in those hard times of life, when it feels like the weight of the world is on our shoulders, it is okay to be in that moment, because it was like that for Jesus too. In fact, one of the things that I think speaks to us most, following and living into the life of Jesus, is that he knew what it was like to be loved in life, but he also knew what it was like to be betrayed. He knew what it was like to have good friends to call his own, and also what it was like to be alone. He knew God called him to do hard things in life, and even in the midst of that, he knew that God would give him the strength to make it through those hard days. I mean, for me, there are times in all of our lives where it feels like we are stuck living in the same Good Friday over and over, where life above the surface may be fine, but we're struggling down below. But the good news is that God's love never leaves us or forsakes us, but God's love is always there. That even if it feels like we're living in the same Good Friday, Easter Sunday will come, and the resurrection is always there. I mean, this is this celebration, almost like this turning point kind of moment day for Jesus. And the support of God's love carried him. The assurance of God's love and mercy was there enough to give him hope all the way to the end. And may it be so for us. May it be so for us to give us hope. Amen.